Join me in a prayer for illumination. Loving God, as we hear your word this day, send your spirit to equip and inspire us that your grace-filled hospitality may be the center of our lives. Amen. And now, Mr. Roosevelt Dixon.
Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible, will you please turn with me in the book of John, chapter 15. And I will read a few verses beginning with first verse to the fifth one. If you are there, and I can start. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. He removed any of my branches that do not produce fruit, and he trims any branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already trimmed because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Without me, you cannot do anything. Amen. I stand here this morning to first extend my thanks and appreciation to God, who has kept me and my family for these many years and has brought us into a strange land where we have never lived before. I am grateful from a distance, my country, a mile, a miracle, and all of the assistance we have received as a third world country. And it's like in Africa, yeah, West Africa, if someone, or maybe specifically Liberia, have never been to America before, then they have no foreign history to tell. It is so good that all Liberians kind of in Africa see themselves as American breed. Even though we do not really speak the English well, yet we kind of pattern all of our lifestyle like how the Americans will conduct themselves. Meaning our constitution is a photocopy of what you have. The flag you fly, it's just the identical flag, except we have one style. The three branches of government is also patterned just after what the American government has. So it shows a unique relationship between Africa and the great United States of America. I come from a little country in West Africa called Liberia. In itself means freedom. And as you probably have studied history about Liberia, we were somehow, when people want to maybe make fun out of Liberia, they say, you were never colonized by a country. You got colonized by an NGO. That is a non-governmental organization. And truly, that is it. The Church of America colonized the country Liberia. I come from this little country, and maybe from the most remote part of Liberia. But with a heart of God, that when I became a Christian, I desired nothing but to always be able to relate to my fellow men as God would have me to do. When I grew up and became a man, my family desire to study abroad, especially for our kids, became increasingly high that I could not kind of changed the desires that were within my family. We tried our best to do everything, and God brought the open doors through a missionary from this identical church. She went to Africa, and she sat right before my church, and she was just waiting for a mechanic to complete the servicing of her vehicle. But as I drove by to and fro that Saturday morning, I kept seeing these white ladies sitting right before my church. And so the third time, I made a stop. And we want to know if there was some assistance that I could give. And as I greeted them, I met Marcella. Marcella then told me she didn't have much need, but that she was waiting for the service of her car in a garage nearby. Right after the servicing, but before I left, then someone asked her, "But Marcella, I thought you said you wanted to use the bathroom." So I heard that and I came back, and she asked me if I could let her use the church facilities, which I was more than glad to do. It was from that point in time I got friendly with Marcella and the rest of the team that went to Africa to administer free drugs. Marcella started to invite me into the U.S., but I just did not have so much interest because I was well taken care of. By then, I was working with the United Nations mission in Liberia, and I have just returned from Darfur, a troubled region. So I really didn't think that I had much need to come to America except that my kids would come to learn the white man's book. But from what I see, it's like God had a perfect timing. 2 years later, the American government offered a visa lottery that the third world country could play to win a visa in the U.S. My family was very fortunate the last night to the closure of that program. Around about 9:30, we ventured to play the DV, as it is often called in Liberia. We won the DV. 1 year later, we were told that we had to do an interview. And then when we went to the American embassy, my family and I, when there were critical questions of security and other things, no one asked a dare single question regarding my family identity, but we were welcomed by the counselor and said, "Welcome to the U.S." As if I did not believe what was happening, when we told Marcella that we have won the DV, she introduced this church to us and told us all about Pastor Neil and this great congregation. My fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters in this congregation, if I will have something else to say other than what I'm saying, it has to be the grace of God leading me to say so. But I come with a deep heart of gratitude to extend how great we feel being among you. The first time we enter this church, we seem to be the only colored people. And so we were so intimidated and thought maybe we would be treated as such. But since I've been in this church, 5 months, 6 months now, we have always felt warm reception from each and every one of you. I'm sorry that my wife could not be here because she just got a little vacation job at Fun Fatrick somewhere along the highway. And so we were so excited that our family will be here. Nothing have ever frightened me than 3 months ago when Pastor Neil told me that I had to stand before this congregation. And I was so terrified, I didn't know how to say yes and how to say no. I have spoken to a huge crowd before, but not as wonderful faces. A different species of humankind like you are. When I walk in here today, Red and Tom, as if to say they knew that I had some fright, held my hands in prayer and told me to go forth. Tom came back and said, "Go and have fun. Standing before us, see us like brothers and sisters in the Lord." And no words can describe how warm I feel standing before you. I am grateful. And I said, thank you to you that you have not just preached the word of God through your missionaries and through your pastor, but you have proven to us that you love us and that there, in the house of God, there is no division. And in your personal hearts, you have proven to us to be God-fearing and that you have no judgment other than what a man's character will put forth. Laws are only made for laws breakers. And as long as I stay here in this country, I believe strongly from what I have seen and felt from you, that if I continue to do what is good and continue to be my brother's keeper, I will be just as you are. One day, I listened to a preacher who probably a learning theologian have studied all of the context of the scripture and have won all of the prizes in the word of God and was about to be honored. And after he got his honor and he graduated, his first sermon was so practical that he needed to come back home and speak to a congregation he'd never had contact with before. He went in his closet, he went in the backyard, he went among the flowers, and he began to practice what he would say to the congregation. He was so excellent to himself that he knew exactly he would be accepted. Forgetting to know that he had to see human eyes. The day he came to deliver the message, he stood before the congregation speechless. Not because he had not prepared anything to say, not because God had changed his mind on him to speak to the congregation, but he began to see the wonderful eyes and attention that was being placed upon him. And in his opening statement, he said, "Brothers and sisters, human eyes are not like edible leaves. Human eyes are not like flower gardens. I have practiced to speak my message with my family throughout last week. But it seems to be that the eyes of my family cannot be compared to the eyes that look on me this morning. I want to be grateful that God could allow Tom and Ray to pray with me." From the passage we read, it seems to be that God is interested in relationship and that God is more interested in responsibility when we enter relationship. So he exemplified this by showing the way that he, God, will behave towards his people. From the book of John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1, Jesus is heard saying that his father is the vine dresser or the gardener, and him, Jesus, is describing and lowering himself in humility that he is the tree that is being tended to by his father. And then he considers us as Christians to be the branches of that tree. So then he doesn't stop there. He comes a long way to kind of show us the connection, how the dresser of the tree, the gardener, and the tree itself and the branches of the tree ought to conduct themselves. This is only seen by the responsibilities that I've come to discover in this particular passage. The first thing, God described himself as the owner of the tree, and he's the one who has planted the tree. He has responsibilities such as kind of cleaning around the tree. His responsibility includes fertilizing the tree and making sure that the tree will grow properly in a good environment. Even in a hostile environment, I see that human is like what I read, if it is true, that human produce maybe 40% of this nation's citrus fruits. Yet, human, since I came, I have not experienced rain. Yet, because of the kind of mentality you have developed, your irrigation system is so unique, even though from what I've read to you, some critics kind of think it is so poor or it's not up to standard. But if this kind of irrigation was conducted in Africa where there is no rain, like when I was in Darfur a few years ago, it's amazing to see fruits that come out of a land that is barely no rain. And I want to believe that if we will look at God's example, God is actually dressing this tree in all weather conditions, be it shine or rain. God is putting things together for the human life. And what he's doing, he has nurtured his son Jesus Christ so that he will withstand the temperature and the temperament and the treatment that will come from us, because he came to actually explain the principles of righteousness of his Father. Jesus' mission on earth was to tell us that God is love, and God is not just 10 commandments. God is not just a do and done, but rather God is mostly seen and more perfectly known through his character of love. So Jesus' explanation in his relationship to the Father tells us how this tree had a good growth, irrespective of the environment. Environments such as criticism of Jesus' mission on earth, whether he's truly God, whether he is the God-man, or whether there is another Messiah to be expected of the human race. And then he comes down to us, and he says, you are the branches. If you were continuing to respect the tree from whence you come, if you can abide, if you can stay in the connection of Jesus Christ, then you will be able to produce fruit. What kind of fruits are we expected to produce? One of the things that troubled me since Pastor Neil told me is that I am used to speaking to a congregation of young people. Young people who are full of talents, who can invent to do anything, whether good or evil. So it's much easier to tell them that this is what God likes for us to do. But my congregation this morning is full of well-experienced aged people. As if I should just take my seat and let them tell me their experiences with God. But what gives me comfort is that in the house of God, there is no age barrier. God is one and God is greater than all. And before us, we are all seen, or before God, we are all seen as babes. So it gives me the courage that I can still tell you something that you have responsibility to do as a Christian. Jesus says in these words, you have been trimmed already, you have been taken care of already. So what is left is for you to produce the fruit that I require of you. Fortunately enough, I have seen a lot of you, and I have seen almost all of you producing the kind of brotherly fruits that God is requesting of us. So then it leaves me with no room, but probably a few minutes from now to take my seat. However, what is that fruit that you have been struggling with to produce, for which time after time, personally, God will have to caution you, regardless of your age? What is that believing? What is that thing that you struggle with, trusting all your life in the hands of God? I am deeply moved. But yet God still sees room to encourage you to go on anyhow. You have to bear fruits that will last, fruits on the increase. I'm not speaking to you because I have noticed some faults on your part, but I'm speaking to you that you have done well and that you can still do better in your God-given age. When we produce fruits for the owner of the guiding to be pleased. When we produce fruits to satisfy those who desire our fruits. We have just two requirements. God has so much. He prunes, he fertilizes, he fumigates the condition and the surrounding of the tree. Jesus has responsibilities to teach us how to stay and be stable. He meets our needs. He supplied our wants and our needs. But there are these two requirements on our part. One is that we continue to be good Christians, to abide in the faith of Jesus Christ. The second thing that is required of us is that, yes, it's not just enough to bloom flowers, but we should also produce fruits. If we can go out and share the spirit of joy with those we found, of course, in your streets, I don't see too many persons standing by. It's like if I see the parking lot, each and every one of us here did bring a car. So there's no one to give lift. But in Africa, if you drove your van by a church, after church, you have to break the rules and regulations of the state. There will be no seat belt because you will have more than 10 to occupy a van that probably takes 6 persons. Yet, your love is also seen. Sometimes we become critical of those who stand by the street with little billboards. Now that was so shocking. Having read that there was the least poverty-stricken person in the U.S. So when I drove by sometimes and I saw people with billboards, help me. We may be critical and say, well, these are drug addicts, these are abusers, these are worthless people, these are, just name it. But the sense that you and I have now, if those people would be loved to develop such a sense about God, they would not be in the street. They desire love more than hand-ups. They desire attention. And that's part of our fruit bearing, to reach out to the unreached in every situation. I want to say thank you. And I want to ask God's blessings upon this congregation. And I want you to extend my thanks and appreciation to Pastor Neil, who has given me so much attention and love. I want to extend thanks to the Methodist woman of this great church. Since I came, you have not ceased bearing fruit in my life. I want to say thanks to the Helping Hands, an organization that kind of resembled me back home. I had one single prayer that I prayed throughout my lifetime during the war, the crisis. My country is a kind of war-torn country. We just kind of being delivered out of the cruel hands of our brothers and sisters. We were separated many times, and I found myself praying this prayer whenever I would help someone. And I would say, God, I'm going out today and I want you to bring someone my way who desire your help. And God, even as I help these people, may you also lead people the direction of my parents, my brothers and sisters, my friends, who have no helping hands. And God has answered that prayer continuously. Today I'm in the hands of God-fearing people. And it's like I've put up more weight, my family and I. We have no account. We are not working. But we are well cared for. And it's only through you God has been able to reach. Brothers and sisters, God looks for partners. And if you don't know, I must let you to know that you are God's perfect partners because of the things you do, because of the smiles you put up, because of the rubbing of shoulders you do. God bless you. Thank you.